Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow!
Hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
First of all, we got to lose that Sterling. Can we have a Sterling home run call instead of John Sterling wincing like a baby? Now listen, it took one playoff game for the Knicks to show everybody that might not have known what the Knicks are made of. If you want pretty, then this team isn't for you. But I'll tell you what, coming into the series, I love the Knicks to beat the Sixers, and I'm even more confident after watching Saturday's Game 1 win.
I'm not sure how you could feel confident after watching it. Now, obviously, I'm happy that they won. They played like garbage. All my biggest fears, BT, were realized there. They have no secondary scoring. If the opponent, we told you, yo, if I'm Nick Nurse, I double, triple team Jalen Brunson. That's what they did. I mean, they're blocking shots from behind. Brunson can't get anything going, and the Knicks don't have another option. I immediately, A, miss Julius Randle. B, said, where's your boy DiVincenzo? C, saying there's no way they're going to win this game if Brunson doesn't get going. Now, they did win the game. However, the Knicks showed, that's why the national pundits don't respect them. That is why I had concerns, not just this series, forget about Philadelphia, but going into the postseason without Randle. Who is going to score the basketball when you need it? They got lucky that it was Josh Hart, Deuce McBride. I do not think what took place in Game 1 is sustainable.
You know what's funny? You mentioned Randle. I swear to God, I didn't think about Julius Randle once the whole night. I really didn't.
And were you thinking about DiVincenzo?
Well, I mean, listen. First of all, he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Would it really matter? Because you had Deuce doing damage. Now, I look at it this way. Now, this to me is a massive plus. Jalen Brunson played the worst game. I know he had a few moments a little later into the game.
Yeah.
But Jalen Brunson played the worst game that he's played in months. And the Knicks won a playoff game. Now, I understand that, you know, sometimes things are easier. Think about the Golden State Warriors, not the last couple of years, but a couple of years before that, when they would just show up, they would drop a buck 30, it looked absolutely beautiful, and they would dismantle teams. That's not the New York Knicks. So you look at whether it's art, whether it's music, whether it's other things that are subjective, and I know this is kind of a corny expression, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but it's true. So you don't like the way they looked. I loved the way the Knicks looked. And let me tell you why. Number one, they out-rebounded Philly. Mm-hmm. And rebounding in the playoffs obviously matters.
That's why they won.
55-33. Okay? Boom. The Knicks shot 46% from downtown. Boom. Knicks hit almost 85% of their free throws. Boom. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Knicks took more free throws than Philly, which speaks to their aggressive nature from the start of the game. The Knicks had fewer turnovers themselves than they averaged during the regular season. The Knicks bench gave you 15 or 16 more points than they average during the regular season. And the Knicks held Philly to 10 fewer points than Philly averaged during the regular season. Those are six things I gave you, Sal. Not to mention the biggest is that Jalen Brunson played awful.
Yeah, well, that's my point.
And they won that.
Correct, they won. That's a game that they lose 99 out of 100 times. And if you're the Sixers, you got to be demoralized because that's a game they have to steal. They had that game there for the taking the entire time. They couldn't get the job done. Like the Heat, in last year's semifinals, the Heat stole that game one from the Knicks when the Knicks didn't get a tremendous effort. And they were able to go on and win the series because of it. Now, I do think I felt the Knicks were going to win this series. You obviously have to feel better about that after game one. However, watching them, did Brunson look like a superstar to you? No superstars disappear like that. He couldn't get anything going. Matter of fact, he got shut down. They're blocking shots left and right on him. The size was a factor. You're right. Not until later in the game did he start to look somewhat competent.
Yep.
And he'd be the first one to tell you that. And I'm not knocking him. I love him. But he was awful in game one. Anunoby, their second best player. He stinks. I told you about Anunoby. He cannot create. Period. He is a spot-up shooter. That's it. Without Julius Randle there, Anunoby is useless. He tries to get the ball going, the paint attack. He can't do it. So I'm tired of hearing about Anunoby and his great. Oh, yo, he can be a secondary scorer. DiVincenzo, where was he? Nowhere to be found. Predictably so in the postseason. These guys need to wake up. Josh Hart is not going to, you know, hit 3 of 4 3-pointers. He's not going to be able to do what he did, or 4 of 8, whatever it was. But down the stretch there, he was hitting, you know, big shots.
He basically didn't miss down the stretch.
Well,
same with Deuce.
Yeah, but you hold your breath every time he takes a shot. He's not a good tool guard. He can't shoot. Now, he did do it, and he ended up winning the game for the Knicks. Deuce McBride, same thing. You think McBride's going to pour in 21 every night? They cannot play like that and win another game in this series.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with Brunson. Of course, he's got to play better. Now, I'm sure you think that he will, right?
Yes, but, I mean, I have my concerns the way that Philly just shut him out. There is nobody else. Now, look, you give Mitch Robinson credit defensively. Obviously, the energy was there. And like we said, you could go around the horn a little bit and say, yeah, McBride was good or Josh Hart was good at certain moments. Anunoby did hit a big three, but useless outside of that. Here's my concern. Philadelphia is going to throw the same defense at Brunson. Who is going to beat them? If I'm Nick Nurse, I say, you know what? We should have won that game. I'm doing the same exact thing. Where's the secondary option? Whereas if you had Randle, you can't focus that defense on Brunson. So I hope Brunson gets better. But what I saw a guy who was getting overmatched by a double team and size.
He looked uncomfortable. I'm going to give you that. Yeah. But to me, and you know, one of the things about this Knicks team is, and you really have to appreciate, you know, some of the, I don't want to say the finer points, but some of the things that are less obvious, like this is who they are. Like, when somebody goes, think about their season, and then think about game one of the playoffs here. During the season, they were dealt adversity after adversity, and they always responded. And the other night, Jalen Brunson was suffocated to the point where, you're right, he had a rough time getting the ball past half court. I mean, everywhere he went, you know, shots blocked from behind.
That's what I'm saying.
And now the onus is on Tom Thibodeau to react to the defense that Philly put on Brunson in game one. And I would imagine he'll have an answer. Plus, I think Brunson's going to play better.
I do, too.
I do.
Hey,
listen,
He's got to.
Well, Sal, think about this. If we don't think that Jalen Brunson's going to play better, then why were we wasting our time saying that Jalen Brunson's a superstar?
Well,
like, superstars don't stay down too long. He's bouncing back tonight.
Superstars don't have a game like that.
No, that's completely false.
To get shut down like that?
100%. Wait. So, okay.
Well, see, the size to me was a factor. Postseason game one at home, I get that everybody has a bad game. That was uh-oh. That to me was an uh-oh type game where you saw the size have an impact. You saw him get, like, the Knicks right now don't have another option. It was all on Jalen Brunson. Other superstars, BT, figure out a way to at least have their game, even when they're having a bad game. And I know we ended up with 22 points, but still, it was the quietest 22 points you'll ever see. I came away from that, especially early on, thinking, this could be a problem. Superstars don't get handled and shut down like that. And he was pressing and forcing the issue a little bit. But to me, and I love Jalen Brunson. You know that. I do think he's a superstar. That was a game that at least is eye-opening, if not alarming.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it that way. I love this team. I have great confidence they're going to win the series going in. I think they win tonight. I think Brunson plays awesome, and I think that this thing is just going to roll. I mean,
but didn't you think he'd play awesome in game one? Because I did.
No, I did. I definitely did. But that's why
you
I feel
along
even
where he's getting shots blocked from behind, getting manhandled, looked uncomfortable, turning the ball over.
Understood. Didn't play well. I mean, for parts of that game, he looked awful. I got you. But that's even more, for me, even more reason why, you know, this team is dangerous because they played offensively. They played probably, well, he played probably a D game. And overall, between him and DiVincenzo, who didn't even play down the stretch,
right,
they played collectively as a duo maybe their worst game of the season.
And Anunoby won 3-pointer, and it was a big one.
No,
still,
I know. He didn't play well either, and won.
Well, that is an excellent point, obviously. Like, if you watch that game, I can watch that game every single time, and I'm thinking the Sixers are going to win that game. And the fact that they won is great, but I think that maybe says more about the Sixers than it does about the Knicks.
877-337-6666. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, and Sal Licata here, the fan. Of course, we'll get to these calls now. We'll throw a little Judge stuff, a little Rangers stuff. Obviously, hit it all. Mets 2 out of 3. We are and short show, but we're going heavy Knicks right now. I love the grit. Mike sense. Sal, concerned a little bit. Mike on Staten Island. Mike, what's happening?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Mike, buddy?
Real quick, so, I mean, obviously, I'm not worried about game two, honestly, because we can't expect DiVincenzo or Brunson to have bad games like the first game. And I really don't see anyone on their side stepping up to make shots or make plays outside of their big two. So, not really worried for tonight. But the reason for my call is I'm in a group chat with a lot of, you know, big Knicks fans, and I have friends who completely dismiss Mitchell Robinson and, like, what he's done. And, like, I get it. There's, like, a small contingent of Knicks fans who say, oh, we should, you know, re-sign Hartenstein and trade Mitch, and just completely forgetting the things that this guy did last year in the playoffs. And just straight up, Isaiah Hartenstein, very good player. Would love to be able to keep him. But that guy can't do what Mitchell Robinson did to Joel Embiid.
No, I agree with that, Mike. But here's the problem with Mitch is that every game he misses 20, 30 games minimally. And that's a problem. And I don't even want to get into
zero
that.
Zero offensive game. Like,
yeah.
Now, the fact that he hit two big free throws was great.
It was massive.
And by the way, what the hell are the Knicks doing? How do you inbound the ball there to Mitchell Robinson? Are you out of your mind? Oh, my God. They had their head up their rear ends. Dude, BT, that is a game. I don't care if you go back to the 90s. That is a game the Knicks lose 99 out of 100 times. They did some stupid things. They played poorly. Their top three guys arguably had the worst games that they've had all season long, and yet they still won the game. So there is something to be said about that. But my goodness, they were trying to lose that game. How do you inbound the ball to Mitchell Robinson?
That's a brain lapse right there. You know, funny thing, too, about the expectations for Brunson to bounce back starting tonight and start to resemble the guy who we watched and marveled at all season. Like, you mentioned Randle earlier, and I didn't think about Julius Randle once during the game.
I didn't.
That doesn't mean that they can't use him at some point. I get it. I don't want to even get into the Randle conversation too
deeply
now.
We don't have to get into that now.
But let me just put it this way. Like, if Randle played poorly, like he usually does in the playoffs, game one, and we're on the air going into game two, I don't have supreme confidence that Randle bounces back in game two. I am absolutely convinced that Brad Brunson just lights it up tonight.
But
that's what I think he's going to do.
But watching the game prior to Deuce McBride going off, watching that game, who do you have confidence in when they shut down Brunson to score? Like, at least if Randall's there, I feel like, okay, get the ball to Randle. They have an option. They have a 1-2 punch. You can dismiss some of the stuff that Randle does. Obviously, you know, with the ball in his hands in a big spot, maybe turnover, whatever. He doesn't make the best decision all the time. But still, there's no question he is their second best scoring option.
Yep.
Without him, it's a crapshoot. Now, Deuce McBride showed that he's got stones. I get that.
And he showed that all year, Deuce. It's
agreed.
Not like he just came out of nowhere. Deuce has had a really good season.
And he says the right things. He's got the right attitude. I was concerned just being, you know, a younger point guard.
Yeah,
how's he
going
to go in the playoffs and on the road? But he showed, and especially in that performance, he's a beast.
Yeah.
But without him, they'd have been dead in that game.
Well, I get it. And generally, role players play better at home. So we'll see, you know, if Brunson continues to struggle during the series, you go down to Philly. Or, you know, if you move on, you know, it looks like the Bucks had a good game. If it's Milwaukee and these guys hit the road and they don't play particularly well, then it's going to be a big problem here. But, see, I didn't think about, and I know what you mean, like when Brunson's off, if Randle's there, he can absorb some of the heat there. There's no doubt. And he's got a lot of great things about Randle.
At least draw some of the defense, too.
Yeah, but I wasn't, no question, but I wasn't watching the game saying, you know, boy, they can really use Randle now. My thought watching the game in real time was Brunson's going to hit his next shot. All right, Brunson's going to get hot. Brunson's going to do that. Like, that's how much confidence I have in Brunson. He didn't play well, and they still won the game. And by the way, I don't know how healthy Embiid is. I mean, right. Going into how sore is he? How much was adrenaline the other night? Once he got hurt off the dunk, off the backboard, he didn't look to be the same guy. He looked very hesitant. He was shied away from shots. I think it could be a little worse going into the game tonight. I don't know, but we'll see. Alex and Hoboken, BT and Sal. Alex, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? Hey. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, man.
All right, so two quick things on the Knicks. So, Sally, I got to put you in your place a tiny bit here. It's game one to me is so, so simple. Brunson played awful. DiVincenzo played awful. And Hart didn't even contribute much until the late threes.
Mm-hmm.
And we still rolled. The reason
Hold on. They didn't roll. They won. They did not roll.
Okay. Fine. But my point is, the reason we did and the reason we're going to win this series and the reason we were confident coming in, we are so much deeper.
Yep.
But, like, McBride stepped up. Who's going to step up tonight? Maybe it'll be Brunson who'll go.
Well, and by the way, Alex, don't forget about Bogdanović.
It better be.
Bogdanović stepped up as well.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. So, yep. Are we really going to have another night where Brunson is lost, DiVincenzo's a non-factor? Like, it's not going to happen. And if it
I don't think DiVincenzo's that good.
Up.
See, there's a difference, Alex. I didn't think DiVincenzo is that good. I know Josh Hart can't score. Now, he hit some big shots. And look, I love his heart and all the intangibles that he brings. But as far as having that secondary scorer, I never believed that this Knicks team had it. All that was true. Oh, and by the way, Brunson on top of that was shut down. You're right, they won. I don't know how you can watch that game and not be concerned. Unless you think Brunson's going to put 40 up tonight, and I don't. I mean, I think he's going to be better. I don't think he's going for 40. Are you going to count on McBride again for what? Or do you think DiVincenzo's going to bounce? I don't know if he is or not. I don't trust these guys. If DiVincenzo was as good as everybody was telling me he's going to be, then he shouldn't have his rear end on the bench in the fourth quarter. And he was because he wasn't impactful at all. That was my fear going in. He's not a guy you could rely upon. Now, maybe tonight is his night. Maybe McBride doesn't have it. And DiVincenzo. And that's to your point, BT, about the depth of this team. But man, am I concerned about it. The Knicks don't have that second guy. Even Anunoby, who's their second best player, he can't score without being spot up shooter.
Listen, this is why the Knicks are going to have to make a big move this summer. Like, we've told you this. This is the summer where the Knicks are going to pounce. But right now, you can't pounce till it's over. And do I expect Brunson to score 40 tonight? Back to something Sal just said. I don't know if he's going to score 40. I know he's going to play better, but I also don't think they need him to score 40. That's the thing.
Who do you think the Knicks' three best players were in game one?
In game one, I would say...
Top three.
I would say, certainly McBride, right. Hart down the stretch, Mitchell Robinson, and even Bogdanović, who did a lot of good things,
think
too.
Think about that!
I know. Now, that's not going to win you a championship, but that's good enough to carry the mail when your star really struggles in game one. And ultimately, we'll find out if the defense and the way they harassed Brunson is something that he can work around, given that size deficiency and how they defended him. Maybe that's just a series-long thing.
Oubre, I don't like, as far as him running his mouth.
Yeah.
He was a pain in the ass defensively.
Yeah, no, Oubre's a tough player. Tyrese Maxey's the biggest issue on the court.
Correct.
We can sit here and talk about Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey got to the rim whenever he wanted.
Correct, and it is clear to me that the Sixers have the better players. Obviously, when you want to talk about Maxey or Embiid, even with a compromised Embiid, if the Sixers played with a fraction of the heart and energy and toughness the Knicks play with, they would have blown the Knicks out of the guard.
Well, maybe they don't have that toughness and energy. And like, that's something you don't turn on and turn off. Listen, this Knicks team is far from perfect, especially if Brunson's like this. But I ask you, Knicks fans, as imperfect as they played in certain spots, Al's not wrong about that. Think about the things they did well. They punished. They destroyed. They flat out punked Philly 55-33 on the backboard. That's not getting a few lucky caroms. That's not chasing down a few, errant threes and getting a little lucky. That is going into the paint and having more will and toughness and stones than Philly. Now, shots might not drop. I understand that. But that toughness that you saw game one, that ain't going away because that's who the Knicks are. And if you've watched them all season, 877-337-6666, BT and Sal on the Fan. Inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio, we are. Town Fair, of course, reminds you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So you can look at it this way. This is what we want the Coles to really be on. They play, Brunson played awful. They won. Now, to me, I take away good stuff from that. Good stuff. But you might see it a little bit more like Sal, where if Brunson doesn't wake up, what happened the other night is not necessarily going to happen again, which creates a problem. So that's kind of where we are. Knicks get the first one. Rangers get the first one. Judge is a mess. And the Mets win 2 out of 3. We'll get to all that other stuff later. Right now, we're rolling with the Knicks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show here. Back to you, Nick Coles, 877-337-6666. Yanks for the day game, so we're out of here at about 12:25 for the Yankee pregame show, which takes us to the Yankee starting lineup, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by 1800 Tequila, and their line of the best taste in tequilas, Cristalino, Añejo, Reposado, Millennial, and Coconut. So today's lineup, we got a little Volpe, Soto, and Judge, 1-2-3. Stanton's going to DH, bat 4th, Rizzo 5, Torres 6, was benched over the weekend. He stinks. He's been brutal. Verdugo, Trevino, Cabrera, Rodon. There's obviously the focus here is the Knicks out of the chute. But, you know, listen, I'll tell you this. The Yankees are 15-7. You'll take it. Yankees have won 6 out of 7 series. You'll take it. But this nonsense of just putting up zeros offensively for 2 hours and just thinking that they're going to, you know, rally in the 8th inning or the 9th inning and somehow that's going to sustain themselves for the next couple of months is absolutely nuts. Volpe is 2 for 25, looks like a complete mess all of a sudden. And I don't know what is going on with Aaron Judge, but he's either not healthy or he got really old really fast, because Judge looks horrendous.
Yanks have some issues. I mean, they're winning, so it's covering up their flaws. Soto can't. Soto's been great. He's going to be an MVP, but he can't keep up this pace. They've got some issues. Volpe, there's been a difference in the leadoff spot, no question about it for him. So Yanks keep winning, which is great. But if you pay attention closely, this is not, ooh, you're a Yankee hater. No, the Yankees have some flaws. I said that for a while. I said I was concerned about Judge 2 weeks ago, and here we are 2 weeks later, and he's still looking lost to a level where I haven't seen him.
He's looking worse.
Yeah, that's
actually, it's getting worse.
Right, but it's to a period now where it's not just, oh, yeah, well, everybody goes through this. It is not.
It's
a lot more than that with Aaron Judge now. He has not looked like, the issue has never been performance. It's been health, and obviously Judge has been healthy, or at least he's playing every day. So to me, you got to say that he's healthy, but the performance has not been.
And if he's not healthy, then sit down, because you're not helping the team right now. So, yeah, I know there's a couple of ways to look at it. Well, there's really 2 ways. You can look at it and say, well, the Yankees are winning despite, you know, X, Y, and Z not occurring favorably. But I don't – that seems a little short-sighted for me, which is why I was reluctant to stamp this team an absolute World Series squad. I needed to see it. So I look at the performance here, and if you ask me right now, Sal, will it, you know, revert back to – them losing some of these games, they're finding a way to win, or everybody start to bust out? I think it's probably going to get a little worse before it gets better. But we got a lot of time to actually die. And they are winning, but it seems a little fool's gold right now to think that this is things are perfect in Yankeeville. It's absolutely not. BT and Sal, Knicks stuff here. I love it because they won a game where they did not play well, or at least their superstar did not play well. And you said Tyrese Maxey's questionable?
Did you see that before? Yeah. No. I saw that on Twitter. Who was that? Philadelphia Sixers star Tyrese Maxey questionable tonight with an illness.
Wow.
Now, ultimately, I'd be surprised if Maxey and Embiid don't. I mean, it's the playoffs, dude. Suck it up. Illness. What are you talking about? Even Embiid. Get out there. Play. I mean, they said yesterday during the broadcast, Embiid, or 2 days ago during the broadcast, Embiid is a little nervous about that leg. He doesn't trust it yet. I understand that. That's fine. But, I mean, come on, dude. It's the postseason. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, he...
Play. You either play or you're out. That's it.
Well, he did. He came back, and he looked very hesitant. There were
right,
a lot of times.
Right, but then, like, oh, the questionable or whatever in game two. Like, come
that's
on,
probably the team just protected its ass. He'll be out there. There were so many times where he was, like, behind the three-point circle where that little jab step, and he's got room to create, and he just willingly gave it up. So he's obviously, banged up, but so is Randall. So we don't feel sorry for anybody. Tino's in Staten Island. Tino, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
What's up, my brothers? How you doing? How
what's
you
up, Tino?
Today? Hey, Sal, you know, usually me and you, when I don't call much, but when I do, I don't like your opinions. But today, you're spot on, dude. I got to give you credit, Sal. I'm with you. OG Anunoby stinks. I never liked the acquisition from the beginning when we traded.
Here we go.
Hold on. Please give me a second. His offensive game is just what Sal says. You have to give him the ball in the corner. BT, he cannot create his own shot.
I know, dude. You act like you're telling me something I don't know. I watch him every night. He's a shooter.
BT, I watch every game, too, just like you.
Yeah, he's a shooter. So it's not new. This is not some new revelation that OG Anunoby can't create. I know.
BT, our second best option is Bogdanovich on the offensive end that create his own shot. We don't have another guy, like Sal said. DiVincenzo can't create his own shot. Who else? What, Deuce? I get Deuce clarity. I mean, Deuce could put you off the dribble a little bit, a little step back three. He can create his own
shot. But you can't expect look, 5 of 7 from, and I love Deuce. You can't expect that type of shooting every night.
Yes, you're 100% Sal on that one. So that's my concern going forward. Because of not having Randall, that's where I'm scared, because they're going to keep throwing multiple bodies at JB like they did. They're going to double him. They're going to dare Josh Hart to make those threes. And I hope he's going to make them, but that's not his game. He's
well, let me, Tino, let me tell you, here's where I'm going to agree with you, Tino. I agree with some of the other things you said, too. Thanks for the call there, bud. Now, Josh Hart, I love him because he's got, he reminds yep. a lot of us like John Starks, mm-hmm. you know, just the way he was reacting with the crowd at the end. Like, it was a garden moment of these Knicks are a lot like the old Knicks, and that's why we love them, because they're tenacious. But Josh Hart, if he's the guy who's lining up critical threes, the Knicks are in trouble.
Yeah, that's a win for the Sixers.
I give you that. There's no doubt. But I don't understand, like, why is the stuff, you said it, Tino said it, and you guys aren't wrong, but why is the OG Anunoby can't create stuff, like, no kidding. I mean,
because,
did you
because
watch
they,
him?
Because he,
I know that he can't create. Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
Because your second best player can't be a guy who can't create. They don't have any scoring.
So, Sal, if we thought, I don't, see, this is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
With New York sports all of a sudden. We're going to bag on Brunson, and we're going to lose faith in Brunson in one night after he gave us, I think, arguably, the best Knicks season of all time.
What do you mean bag on Brunson?
Meaning like, he's not superstar. Is he going to be a super? So,
we didn't even say that. I just said that was not a superstar-like performance in game one.
Well, everybody knows that. Yeah. I guess what I'm
saying. So you shouldn't say it? Everybody,
but that's
the Knicks went, let's just move on and
talk
about something else.
No, that's the easy, obvious thing. Okay, I think you're ignoring stuff that really matters.
So the question is, how's it going to get fixed? Because they can't
win. I'll tell you how it's going to get fixed. He's going to go back and put the ball in the hole tonight. You don't think he's going to?
I don't know. I need to see it. What am I, Nostradamus?
But then why would you? Why? Okay, so. And I don't know either.
Why did he
obviously.
Not perform? Was he missing open shots, or was it something that the defense did?
It was probably more the defense. I'm
going
to give you that.
And that's a problem.
If
he were just missing shots, I'd be like, okay,
he's going to stick him next. But it's a problem if he doesn't adjust. Do you not think he's going to adjust?
His
do you not
size,
think Tom Thibodeau's going to adjust?
His size was a problem. And that, to me, is concerning. I love Brunson. I believe he is a superstar. However, in that game, I started to think twice about, this could be a problem here. Where two things. One, his size and the fact that the Sixers shut him down completely. Two, they don't have another option to keep the Sixers on their toes. It could all just be about shut down Jalen Brunson, get in his face, bring over two guys, have Oubre, who's got extreme length on him, and you're going to be screwed blocking shots from behind. Brunson looked like he looked overmatched. He looked anything but a superstar. Now, I do think he's going to be better. Knicks will adjust. They'll try to figure it out. However, I don't even know if that's going to be enough, because you're not going to get what you got from Deuce McBride. Josh Hart's not going to be hitting big shots left and right. It's just not what they did to win game one, to me, is not sustainable. And you look at this team, and it's something I felt during the course of the regular season, but somehow they still got the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough there. If the Sixers had any semblance of a heart, they have talent. If they had any semblance of a heart, they would have won that game by 15.
So you sit down to watch this game tonight. And again, no one knows what's going to happen. You sit down in your heart, in your mind. You expecting a 35-40 burger from Brunson, or you're not sure?
At least 30. Well, put it this way. Whether I expect it or not doesn't matter. They need it. They didn't.
But they don't.
Yeah, they
just,
do.
No, but they just didn't get it and they won.
Correct.
So they don't need
it. One game. If he doesn't do
they've only played once.
Good. If he plays like that again, if the Knicks play that same exact game in game one, they're going to get run out of the gym. Not in game two, game three, and four as well.
Not if Philly doesn't out-rebound them, which, by the way, the Knicks are going to punish them all series. That's not an anomaly. Knicks are an amazing rebounding team.
Take that exact same game.
Yeah.
Performances from everybody. Sixers are going to win that game 9 out of 10 times. If Brunson doesn't score 30, the Knicks are dead.
But think about this. The way Brunson played, it's not like Philly. I mean, you could make the case that Philly should have blown them out.
Right, I know.
And they could have. Not only did they not blow them out, they couldn't even win.
They crushed them in the first quarter and the third quarter.
Yep.
Two out of the four quarters, the Sixers were blowing them out. Somehow, the Knicks' heart. I give him credit for that rebounding.
That's where I'm
going. Yeah, but that's where you're going. But if McBride doesn't hit 5 of 7 threes, they're dead.
Yeah, but if DiVincenzo doesn't miss it, like the ones that he did, which I expect him to start making.
If DiVincenzo
hit 40% on the season.
Yeah, if they were good, if he were good, he would have been playing. He wouldn't have gone 3 for 10. That's what he is. That's why he's no good to me. Now, again, good relative comparison. Like, even if we say OG Anunoby stinks, it's in comparison to, he's not that second guy. They don't have anybody that could create. The threes aren't going to be falling from McBride. They better hope it's somebody else. But if Brunson's not putting in close to 30 a night efficiently, I don't see how they could win the series.
Listen, this team, and it might be, I don't think they win the championship. So ultimately, it's going to be to my personal demise here. I will sink with this team. If there's water coming on with this team, I will be holding a bucket until I drown. That I appreciate the Knicks, and I trust the Knicks, and I respect this version of the Knicks more than any team in our city. Rangers are close, and they looked awesome the other night, no doubt. But I find it amazing. One game after a win, and I'm not saying that Sal's points don't have merit. I get what you're saying, Sal, intellectually, I get it. But isn't this why we love this team? Just when you think they're dead, they bounce back?
I guess. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not saying I don't love the fact that they won energy and effort.
That.
But I'm saying I watched that entire game thinking, oh, my God, they're going to lose this game. This is not a good look. This is a bad performance. And yet you got people, and the Knicks fans embarrass themselves out in the street.
I can't help that. Yeah, we want Boston.
We want Boston. I mean, what are Knicks fans doing? And this is what I say to these bing-bongers. First of all, grow up, number one. Celebrating in the streets. It's game one of the first round of the playoffs. And then they're talking about we want Boston or sweep this. Knicks fans are delusional. The team played a horrible game. You're lucky to escape with the win.
See, that's where you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's where
I don't think it's sustainable.
That's different. To say that the Knicks played a horrible game is ridiculous. That's just not correct.
Right.
It's not even close to being true. I mean, when you out-rebound somebody by 22, how are you playing a horrible game?
Right.
When you shoot 46% from three, how are you playing a horrible game? When you have fewer turnovers than you had in the regular season, how are you playing a horrible game?
Because
when you get to the line more than the opposition, which means you're tougher than the opposition, and by the way, shoot almost 85% from the stripe, how are you playing a horrible game?
Because it is. I thought they played.
Then we watched two different games.
How did Brunson? Maybe.
I mean, you can focus on Brunson the rest of the day.
He's the only guy they have, BT.
And they won.
You told me about DiVincenzo. Where was he?
And they
won. You've been talking about DiVincenzo for months. DiVincenzo. You're dismissing DiVincenzo. He's so good, he couldn't even get on the floor in the fourth quarter. DiVincenzo. And that's the guy you're hanging your hat on.
No. I didn't even just mention DiVincenzo.
He was their second best scorer when Randall and Anunoby were out. And he did nothing in game one.
And they won.
If not for Deuce McBride, the Knicks would have been dead.
And they won.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
They won
the game. They won the game.
What's the bet? Let me ask you this, Al.
Good. They won the game.
They
can't do that again.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well,
and I'm going to tell you why. If I say, aside from Brunson, what's the Knicks' best asset? It's subjective. I don't know if there's a right answer, but I've got mine. I want to hear yours.
You're talking about individual?
Just like when you look at the
New York Knicks. It's their depth.
Boom.
Right.
Their depth. You nailed it. The Knicks average, I think it's 25.5 points per game from a bench perspective this year. They scored 45.
Right.
Strength. It might not be pretty. It might not be easy. These guys are going to win the series.
But here's where we disagree.
Go ahead.
It is the depth. Or here's where we see it differently, not even disagree. I don't think it's sustainable. You do.
Well, in this series, I do.
Yeah, okay, well, but that is also...
In this series, I do.
It is also a first-round series against a team who's, you know, compromised with their best player being banged
up. Yeah, but it's compromised, but all anybody told me for 3 days was, oh, maybe the Knicks should have bagged that last game. Oh, maybe the Knicks should have gone for the 3 seed. So which one is it? I mean, if Philly's so freaking good...
Right.
I mean, what's the story?
Philadelphia should have won game one. They didn't. That's on them.
Exactly.
That's on them.
And the better team did. Yeah, and the better teams... Listen... Better team's going to win the series.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Brunson better pick it up, and the Knicks better win tonight because you don't want to... Philadelphia didn't steal game one. If they get game two, they're still in the spot that they want to be in, and all of a sudden, the series can be very dangerous going back to their place. Now, again, assuming health, I just don't feel good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm happy the Knicks won, and I still think they're going to win the series. I felt that way, but I didn't feel better about the Knicks after watching game one. As a matter of fact, I felt worse. My concerns were only multiplied
Listen, I can't wait for this game.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Yeah, I mean, I could roll the R's, but it's not looking too good with these wins. We're worried about the Yanks, and I'm not an alarmist here, but I do not like the way they look right now. But still, the official hamburger of the Yankees, and first caller to identify yesterday's Turning Point, give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAM, 866-540-9326, and you will get two pairs of tickets. You'll win them to a 2024 Yanks regular season game, and it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan.
So, BT, you're going to like this.
We got.
I took one for the team here.
Okay.
Saturday afternoon before the Knick game.
Okay.
I get an email from our pal, CEO of Surfside, Clem Pappas, who is a huge Sixers fan. Like, Surfside started in Philadelphia. It's the best thing to come out of Philadelphia by far, not even close. He goes, so how about we get a little friendly bet going?
Okay. Like when the mayors from the different towns do it?
I'm like, all right.
Let's go.
You got my attention. If the Sixers win the series, I agreed to wear a Joel Embiid jersey for an entire week.
Oof.
Probably an Embiid jersey, a Surfside hat. Yeah, Joel Embiid. Like,
on the air.
You want to make me, for an entire week. Right. During the show, an entire week. Like, I was saying one thing. Joel Embiid. That's enough.
Now, let me just say this before you tell me what you're going to win, because you're going to win. It better not be a case. Like, it better be some heavy stuff, because for a week, he's asking you to, you know, the logo, the advertising with the hat, the jersey for a week. What are you winning?
Palette. a pallet of Surfside to the fan.
I go,
oh, how about you send it to my address? I'll hand it out to the Knicks fans.
I was going
to
say, you should send it to your home.
Well, we're doing it for the station.
All right.
A pallet of Surfside.
Yeah,
come on.
What is the station doing for us? They're not doing anything. They got no skin in the game there.
No, I'm the one. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. So you should
I'll
keep it and give me some. Screw everybody else.
Right. Send a pallet to my house. I'll split it with BT and away we go. I think we'll get Big Zoo get some. I know Hoff loves this stuff.
They're part of the show. That's different.
We want to get all the Knicks fans. That is true. But put it this way. I'll be monitoring.
Give a seven to Evan Roberts?
No, he gets none. Exactly. No, no.
I don't know if Evan drinks. Does Evan even drink?
I don't know. He should. If he does drink, he probably loves Surfside. I'll tell you that. But
if he doesn't, he should start.
Even if they do send a pallet here,
yes,
I'll be in charge of who gets what.
There you go. Just leave me a few. We're good. That's a good bet.
Yeah, well.
It's a good bet.
It's risk-free for some people around here. For me, I got to wear the freaking Embiid jersey.
Now, how would you get the jersey? Would you have to buy one,
too? I assume so. I didn't want to go. The hats, he'll send me the surf stuff. I'm not worried about that. The Embiid jersey, that's probably going to be my loss would be the Embiid.
Okay.
Nah, I'll buy some replica, whatever. But
Yeah. Right, they just get a Kansas Embiid. Hey, you never said what kind of Embiid jersey. Get him one from Kansas, from college. Get him a college jersey. Hey, I'm wearing Embiid.
I'll have to wear it. And by the way, now you know why I was about to flip out game one watching this stuff, thinking, what's going on here? I'm wearing no Sixers jersey for a week. I want that Surfside palette. Let's go.
That is fun. And game two tonight, good news is I think you're in good shape with the bet. Good news, in my opinion, the Knicks did not play a great, great game all around in terms of Brunson and obviously DiVincenzo. They still won. You want to see him tighten a few things up here, but they got the dub. We get ready for tonight. Alex Isquag. Alex, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Can I make a couple of quick points, please? Sal, I'll tell you, I want to talk about Tibbs first. I'll make it quick. Sal hit it right on the money early when he talked about the inbounds play to Robinson. And you called it, Brandon, you called it a brain cramp. That's coming out of a timeout. That's coaching. Who the hell runs Robinson to get an inbounds pass in that situation? And this goes back to Brunson now. Brunson has earned the right to shoot 8 for 26.
You think?
But it's Tibbs. It's Tibbs who has to say to him at some point, stop forcing the issue, pull it out, let's get some more movement into the offense, get the other guys involved. Don't go 1-on-3. Take it easy. That's coaching. That's on Tibbs. That's point one. Point two, I want to say something about Hartenstein that drives me a little crazy, as great as he is. When Embiid was going off early in the first quarter, he got a quick foul. And then Hartenstein had one of those little jumpy, dinky-dunk drop shots that he does.
Yes.
In the lane, and Embiid is standing under the basket. He came up, take that to the hole. If you get fouled and you don't make the shot, at least you get another foul early.
Oh, my God. I mean, we're nitpicking, Al. Come on.
I like it, Alex.
You have to understand the situation with Embiid. Get Embiid out of the game early.
How about this? Just hit the freaking floater. I mean, my goodness. Come on. And now I see what he's saying. You want to draw the fouls on Embiid there. You know, one thing, BT, I think is an interesting point as far as the bad play to Mitch Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where, similar to game one, just because the results were favorable, you would net, like, just because Mitch hit the two free throws doesn't mean you'd ever want to see that play again.
No, I agree. He's 41%.
Right. So maybe to a lesser level, because I do think the Knicks' depth is a clear strength, and it's been proven throughout the course of the regular season. I just don't think it's sustainable, even in this series, to win games the way that they did like that in game one. It was great. It was necessary for a night. They're going to need Brunson to be close to what he's been the majority of the regular season to even have a chance in this series.
Now, listen, the one thing I'll say about the Robinson inbounds, you talk about Tom Thibodeau and obviously drawing stuff up in the huddle, coming out right off the timeout, balls in his hands, obviously not optimal. I get that. He's a horrendous free throw shooter, though he stepped up and he made them. I don't know what was said in the huddle. I don't even know if I just try to be fair. I don't know if I would do this. It's too risky. But is there a chance the play was, hey, listen, Mitch, they're coming right for you.
Just get rid of it.
Get rid of it immediately, because then we have an advantage in numbers disproportionate near the rim.
I know, but can you even take that
risk? You probably shouldn't take the risk.
Because I
understand that.
It looked like it was supposed to be instant. Brunson throws it in, boom. Mitch grabs it, flips it right. Like, don't even grab it. Just kind of like touch pass it.
Almost like tap it.
But it was too late. I mean, it was like wolves to a T-bone steak when Mitch had the ball. They couldn't get to him fast enough to foul him.
Boy,
and obviously they did.
Boy, it sounded good, though, didn't it? I mean, even with the imperfect script, although the finish was great, That play sounded good.
It did sound good.
Loud.
Not in the first quarter.
No.
But ultimately, yeah.
Loud.
Does it bother you, the stuff that happens afterward with the fans?
Like what? Oh, with the fans in the street?
Yeah.
That's not my thing. Listen, I remember, I can't really tell the whole story on the air, but I remember when the Yankees won the World Series in 96, like what I did, I was at the game. What I did that night, now I was in my early 20s, I was just out of school. No, I know. But like for the Knicks,
one.
No, but it's kind of like their World Series or like their NBA Finals.
But that's pathetic. This is New York. No. Like, shit, have a little dignity and some self-respect.
But self-respect, we don't win.
They didn't even win the series.
I understand that. They're fired up. Let them enjoy
it. But this is the Bing Bong or Knick fan.
Oh, I hate the Bing Bong stuff, but that's so few people.
But that's the type of fans that they are, the younger fans, because if you experienced the 90s like we did, without even winning a championship, there's no way you would ever get that excited about a first round win, let alone game one of the first round.
But the
they're celebrating, literally celebrating in the streets.
A win. Yeah, I know. But it's also, you know, it's when we were celebrating in the 90s, and I watched a lot of those games at bars. I mean, there's just no cameras to record. Now, to your point.
Like, was it like that? I don't know.
I'm saying no. We beat the Cavaliers game one, or we beat the Nets game one, or we beat the Hawks, whatever.
Hornets,
game one. Yeah, Hornets. Not really, but listen, I am not a member of the fun police.
Right.
You know, I don't have a badge for that.
Me either.
If you would like to hand out tickets, by all means,
how about the dignity police? I mean, my goodness, have some little. What it does is it dummies down the Knicks and the rest of the fans. You look pathetic when you're celebrating literally in the streets, jumping up and down like they've won something when they won the first game of the first round of the playoffs. It's just a bad look for everybody. It makes me not want to be associated with any Knicks fan. And I grew up loving the Knicks. It's embarrassing. You want to celebrate a win? Fine. You want to celebrate a series win? Fine. That's a bit much.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. Where do you have to go from there? Do whatever you want. Don't commit crimes. Don't act like lunatics.
Yeah, but
in the
what's next? Like, what's a game two win going to do tonight? I mean, come on.
8-7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
7337-6666. BT and Sal here on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal. Got a short show. Yanks coming up 105 against the A's. Hopefully get those bats cooking in four games here. Really just get a little, you know, get some offensive flow going. We'll have the pregame coming up at 12:25.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 11:05, back on the Fan. BT and Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal, Licata show. Those Knicks back tonight, and we'll see. Now the evaluation is a little different with Brunson. Didn't play well in game one. Knicks got by. Harassed different defensively. And listen, this is what we say, and I understand there's merit to this. Like, maybe outside of depth and Brunson's great season and obviously, you know, three or four guys shooting 40% from downtown just about. Like, they've got a lot of things during the regular season that are really good. But one thing that we worried about a little bit, this Knicks team plays hard every night. Every NBA team does not.
Right.
So now with the souped up, you know, effort and the coaching and the focus on exotic defenses and stopping certain people, Brunson's got to bounce back.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find a team that's going to outwork the Knicks or play harder, even with them turning it up in the postseason. But the question is, will their talent, outweigh what the Knicks can do? I was worried. Probably the thing that concerned me the most, BT, was Oubre on Brunson. The double teams is one thing.
Yep.
The size, like when you see a guy getting his shot blocked from behind.
From behind, yeah. That one jumped out.
Yeah, that's not good. And just the frustration. Now, I do think Brunson's going to bounce back. It's not the first time we've seen him struggle during a game. Mm-hmm. And to the caller's point, to your point, he's earned the right to have a bad game. It's not just him having a bad game, though. It's the concerns about what Philly's going to do defensively to take him out of the series and take their chances in the best of seven, saying, all right, well, they got us the first night. Do it again. Have McBride, have Hart.
Bogdanovich,
he hit some big shots. Have him do it again.
Yeah. So we'll get to these calls here, and let me just say this real fast. Like, if Brunson goes 8 for 24 tonight, which I don't think he will, but if he does, put him down for 40 in Game 3. Like, that's how much trust I have in Brunson. He's earned that for me.
I know, but it's not about him. Don't you think it's about what the team does to him and the fact that they don't have...
Yeah, but he also missed some shots he's supposed
option.
To hit. Yeah, well, he missed some shots he's supposed to put down.
Right, that is true.
And then if he hits then that obviously changes maybe how they rotate. And, you know, listen, I get it. But to me, I would rather win that game than win 131-98. Right. I truly... Because now it sets the standard of being locked in, of character, of fourth quarter execution, yep, handling adversity. They played poorly in a lot of respects, and they won.
Let me ask you real quick before we get back to the calls here. From game one, you could pick anything.
Yep.
What do you think is the most likely thing, positive or negative,
mm-hmm,
to carry over
rebounding
to game two?
Knicks will own the backboard this entire series. That's what I start. 55-33 in game one. I'm not saying that the discrepancy will be quite that large. The Knicks will own the backboards.
Yeah, I would probably say if I could pick one thing, the defense from Mitch on Embiid. Like, I don't think McBride, I love him, but I don't think he could do what he did sustainable mm-hmm. throughout the course of his series. I'd venture to say that DiVincenzo is going to be better, Brunson will be better, Anunoby will be better. Not just tonight necessarily, but like at some point, they're not going to do what they did in game one. I think the one thing that's sustainable for me would be Mitchell Robinson's defense on Embiid, which I thought was a game changer.
He was physical. 877-337-6666. Staten Island, Kenny, what's cooking, buddy? BT and Sal, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
Kenny boy!
All good. You know, if the weather's breaking, get some golfing. But listen, I don't know what all the negativity on the Knicks is. This is who they are.
I'm not negative.
No, but Sal is.
I'm not negative. I'm realistic.
Imagine if we would have lost what would have been going on today.
Well, but Kenny, here's the difference. I'm not looking at just the result. The result was great, but if you overlook the rest of it just because of the result, that's how you get yourself in trouble. The Knicks can't do what they
did.
Right, so if they play like that, I don't believe if the Knicks play like that.
Yeah. Let's flip it. What do you think the Sixers are thinking?
Oh, they got to be demoralized. It's a gut punch to them. They didn't play well, you know, but they should have won that game.
Well, the two top guys combined for over 50 points. So, and basically, if our bench basically contributes the way it's done all year, where whatever we get out of the bench is offsetting their stars, we're going to win this.
Kenny, you think if the Knicks play like that the rest of the series, the Knicks are going to win the series?
No, Brunson's, listen, but they're not. Brunson's.
Well, okay, but then now you're into predictions. I'm not.
It's one game. Sal, if we were going into game six and we're down 3-2, yes, and they play like this, it's a problem. But you know Brunson tonight is going to rebound with 35-plus points.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's going to be there, and they're going to win the game going away.
All right, yeah, but no, Kenny, I don't, and thanks for the call. I'm not interested in your prediction, so I don't know that. Could I expect that? Sure, but I don't know that. And guess what? Neither do you. What we do know is what happened in game one. And all I'm saying is if that continues to... Now, you could also disagree with that, just like BTS. If you said, Kenny, yes, Sal, I believe if the Knicks play like that again, the way they played in game one, if they do that again, I still believe they can win the series because of the depth, because of the rebounding. It's going to be somebody different every night. That's fine. That's your opinion. You're allowed to feel that way. I don't believe it's sustainable. As far as the predictions go, yeah, we all like to say, well, I think this is going to happen. But what does that mean?
It means nothing. Yeah. Forget about the predictions. Right. Now, let me say this. If the Knicks play this way the rest of the series, it's probably not. I mean, but they already got one. So, I mean,
right.
It's going to be tougher than necessary. Now, what I would say, rather than really giving you an answer, because I don't know.
Right.
Not that I know what I'm about to say either. It's more of a gut.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm just reacting to Brunson's body of work.
Right. He's got to bounce back.
And there's always got to be a leap of faith. Like, even Mike, you go back to the 90s, there's a leap of faith. There's a deduction based on what you saw, what you expect, what you anticipate. You incorporate everything. What I anticipate is, going in, that the Knicks would win because I think the Knicks are slightly better. They won. Their superstar was awful. I believe that superstar comes out and plays great tonight. If not, can they still win? Yeah. Are the chances lessened? Sure. I don't want to do this every night.
And remember, too, exactly.
But they won't have to because I think he's going to beast.
Well, superstars are going to win you at least a game in a series on their own.
Yes.
So maybe that'll be game two. Maybe they need it on the road. Remember, the series changes completely. Like, Knicks got to protect home court. Now you go to their house. And this is how series go. And maybe they get pumped up by their home crowd. Maybe Embiid and Maxey are out tonight, but then they're refreshed for game three or four. Like, you just don't know.
It's a long series.
But I do think at some point, you know, Brunson's going to carry the Knicks to a victory in this series, and they're going to need that. I just don't think the way that they won is sustainable to have success as far as winning the series goes.
Let's get back to you guys here. 877-337-6666. Scott right here in New York City. Scott, what's going on?
Sal, listen, as a longtime Knicks fan, in the nightlife, the celebration was great because the bars loved it. Secondly, what you're saying, I don't agree with you. Like, you have your opinion and everybody else has theirs. For the Knicks to win this series, they need to have the others to chime in. So Brunson can get arrested and have to carry it all night. So basically, what happened, McBride, Hart, Bogdanovich,
mm-hmm.
maybe for somebody different. But this is what we need to win this series. And if we play this way, my opinion, against the Sixers, the way we played, we carry it on like this, we can beat the Sixers. We are going to beat them, so I'm not worried about that. But the bottom line is that we can win this series playing this way without our stars not being this top all the time.
Hey, I mean, there's only one star. So, I mean, look, could it be somebody different? Here's the thing. It's going to have to be. So do I want to rely on Anunoby and DiVincenzo to do it tonight? Or, McBride again in Game 3 and Josh Hart? You need 30 a night from Brunson, an efficient 30 a night from Brunson if you want to be taken seriously in the postseason. Hey, I've been proven wrong before. They could go out there and win this series maybe without Brunson doing anything. I don't think that's going to happen, and I also don't trust the secondary parts to get it done. They need Brunson to lead the way like they did in the regular season, and then have the other pieces, come up with big shots like you saw in game one from Josh Hart and Bogdanovich.
Let's go up to Maddie, who's in Newburgh. What's going on, Matt, BT, and Sal? Good day.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up?
Knicks Nation. So, Sal, I normally don't agree with you, man. I really do agree with you on the topic this time. The Knicks starting five all were in the negative and plus minus. Okay? And that's really, to me, kind of scary. So, I think Brunson's going to bounce back, but you see they double-team him every time he puts the ball on the floor. And they weren't guarding Hart or Anunoby to start the game. They were letting those guys sit out at the three-point line.
Yep.
So, the Knicks, and BT, to your point about the rebounding, they should be out-rebounding this team. The only giant that the Sixers have is Embiid, and he can't jump.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first dunk he attempted in like, weeks, and he got hurt.
I was shocked when I heard that stat. He's only dunked the ball 19 times this year.
Yeah.
That's how hobbled this guy really is.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I know. I thought the same thing.
The Knicks have to out-rebound. They have to get second-chance points.
They will.
And I think that Hart, where he was very timid to start, they were leaving him shoot the ball, dude. You got to shoot it.
Yeah.
You got when they're not.
But he's not a shooter. Josh Hart, when he shoots, Sixers are happy about that.
They won. Now, the ball might go in a little bit like it did the other night, especially down the stretch. But no, Sal's not wrong with that. Like, Philly, you're sitting there saying, Josh Hart's lining up a 24-footer. That's what we want.
Right.
He's not a pure shooter.
The reason is because they don't believe it's sustainable. You tip your cap and say, all right, we got beat by him. Just like Batum wasn't sustainable in the playing game against what they did with Miami.
Correct.
And we saw that happen in game one. Nick Batum, did he even play in the game?
He didn't do much.
Non-factor. And he was the reason why they won against Miami in that play-in game, and he went away. So is Josh Hart? I don't trust Josh Hart to shoot the basketball. I trust him to do the other things well, rebound, bring energy, bring the heart, all those different things. But if you're relying on him to hit big shots, eventually you're gonna get bit by that.
It's true. I mean, he is who he is. Listen, I'm going to summarize it this way. I trust Josh Hart to do the right thing. I know that sounds like almost nebulous, like it could be one of a million things. But you know what I'm saying? If he's open, shoot it. If it's going to the rim and getting a little floater or getting downhill, do it. If it's rerouting the ball to the weak side because somebody's open, he'll do it. Coast to coast, a transition bucket, he'll do it. Like, he's an easy guy to love, man. He's not
agreed.
A perfect player, but he is an easy guy to love.
But he would be down on the list of guys that I trust to shoot the basketball.
Yes, but not
Brunson.
To shoot the ball, but right. That's what I'm making that delineation. Not right, do the right thing.
He's a spotty shooter.
Three
big threes. Yeah. I would go Brunson.
Yep.
Probably Bogdanovich, honestly, number two. Ananobi's got to be there, and then DiVincenzo, and then McBride. Like, I could rank five guys in no particular order.
Over Hart.
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree with that.
Shoot the basketball.
I don't disagree with that. Let me get James and Kopov. James, BT, and Sal, what's happening? Jimmy.
Boy, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
All right, James. What's up?
BT is spot on. Spot on. Sal, come on. You're killing me here. So, when you started the show, right, you started by... I don't know. I'm not Nostradamus. Do you think Brunson's going to come back tonight or no? You said, I don't know. Now you're saying yes. He's gonna have 30 and 10, guaranteed tonight.
Well, James, you're not Nostradamus either. I do think Brunson's going to bounce back. I got news for you. He has to. Otherwise, they're going to lose. That's the point. Okay. The point is not do I think he's going to bounce back. It's if he doesn't, they are toast. That's the issue.
That's what superstars do. He's going to bounce. Look at his body of work all year. All year we've been saying this.
Right, but the debate is not whether Brunson's going to bounce back or not.
Right.
You realize that.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on. OG, we knew what he was when we traded for him. Mm-hmm. He's a 3-and-D guy. We said that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we need. He's going to pick it up. He has 15 points. He averages 15 points.
He shot three three-pointers in game one.
In
31 minutes.
They will not. Mark my words. They will not play. Like they played in the first game, they should be encouraged.
That's not the point, James. That's not the. I don't. I'm not sure what's so difficult here. I don't understand. You guys are just blind faith. Oh, they won't do this. They won't do that. Yeah, fine. You can give your predictions and anticipate a different result or a different scenario for Ananobi, for Brunson. I agree. That has to happen. We could both sit here, BT, and say, yeah, I think this is going to happen and this is going to happen. Fine. And I will say yes, but it has to. Otherwise,
yeah.
I don't think that they could win a game like they did already win in game one. Now, I will say, I did not think that they could win game one if they got that. If you were to tell me before the game that Brunson would do what he did, Ananobi would do what he did, DiVincenzo would do what he did.
You'd say they'd lose.
I would say they would lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
Even watching the game in real time, I said, they're going to lose this game. I can't believe it. First quarter, third quarter, second quarter, I felt good about it, obviously.
Oh,
I'm like, all right, they're back in control.
Yeah.
Sixers at bay, Embiid goes down, who knows. Third quarter, I'm like, oh my God.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
God, this is going to be one of those we've seen over the years many times, gut-wrenching, nail to the knife or knife to the heart type of loss. And obviously they didn't. But they can't sustain that type of, they can't win sustainably with that type of performance that they had in game.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bombers take on Detroit at Yankee Stadium coming up on Saturday, May 4th. Right now, we'll do call the number 10. Hook you up, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. And it's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. Make sure you tune in again tomorrow. BT and Sal, same time, right around now for another shot to win. We got a short show today. We've got the pregame coming up at 12:25. Yanks and the A's, first of, what is that, four? So the Yankees have a chance to pad some of those offensive stats against these woeful A's and get a little mojo going. We'll do more Yankees at noon, but that'll be nice to see. Hopefully stack a few more wins, but things far from perfect in Yankeeville despite the 15-7 mark. Let's get back to these Nick calls. Max is in Brooklyn. Max, BT and Sal, what's happening?
Hey, guys, what's up? Big fan of your show.
Thank you, Max.
So I gotta agree with BT here. It's just game one, right? Like, Sal, I understand you're saying that this is not sustainable for this series, but what we enjoy about the Knicks this whole year since Randle went down is that they figured it out game after game. Like, these guys are dogs, right? And another thing I noticed, like, when Embiid went down, Philly folded. They had no idea how to figure it out. They went down in the standings, and Knicks kept pushing. And I have to be confident, or every Knicks fan has to be confident, that they can adjust game by game and even within the game, because we have the better coaching. We have the better bench.
Well, I mean, Nick Nurse is pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's good. But Thibodeau has progressed as a coach coming to the Knicks. And the fact that we lost our other star middle of the year, we all thought as Knicks fans, like, this is it, right? We never would have thought that we were going to get the second seed. Mm-hmm. But we just have to give them a chance to just figure it out. If Brunson doesn't have a good game tonight, like Sal said, that Knicks are toast if Brunson doesn't have a good game. That's not true. That's not honestly true, because look at the first game. We figured it out. It was an ugly game. It wasn't, by the numbers-wise, it wasn't too bad, but it wasn't
So let's play it out, Max. Let's say Brunson doesn't have a good game tonight, right? He has a back-to-back bad games and the Knicks lose. Then what? Then what do you say tomorrow?
If they lose today?
Yeah, let's say Brunson's not good, and the Knicks lose tonight. Then what do you say?
Well, we go on to game three. This is why we play the game, right?
Right, but it would be two straight games. Like, my point is, it can't be just about the result. It's got to be about something bigger than just the result. If you watch the Knicks play, like, look, you're entitled to feel how you feel. I mean, okay, let's just say, yeah, you know what? I think Brunson's going to bounce back, and there's no big deal. And if he doesn't bounce back, the Knicks are going to be fine. I mean, I just don't get that logic. I don't know how you watch that game and think that that's going to be the case. I mean, yeah, you're right. So, hey, why bother playing the games? Let's just roll right on through the Celtics. I mean, maybe the Celtics can, because the Knicks have been tough all year long. I mean, technically, BT, the Knicks were the second seed, right? So that means every team but the Celtics is below the Knicks in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. So does that mean whoever the Knicks play in the next round, doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't matter if Brunson gets going, because Knicks were better in the regular season. So they should be better than the Bucks or the Pacers, whoever they play in the second round. It doesn't really matter, because the Knicks were better in the regular season, so they're going to be better now. Although I will say that Brunson was scoring almost 40 points a game in the regular season. But let's just say he sucks anyway, just like he did in game one. Let's say he continues that. No worry. I think the Knicks will be fine. They'll play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But it also doesn't work that way. And if it does, you know, something severely malfunctioned, you don't go from... And I can't, with one game, and I hear your concerns. I do. I don't want you to think I don't. I get the reservations and how sustainable it is to continue winning this way without Brunson doing damage.
All right, so let me ask you,
I just think he's going to light it up. All right, I've got supreme faith in him.
Let's say he doesn't.
Yep.
Then what's your reaction tomorrow?
Well, I'd have to see how...
Well, let's say he has the same game as he did in game one.
But do they win or lose?
Well, it doesn't matter
to me. No, it does.
Let's say they win. But he plays badly again.
Then I absolutely expect him to light it up in game three. I will push this forward, and I might ultimately be wrong, but every time the Knicks play, whether it's...
Well, what if they lose then?
Four games,
like, what is winning
or 30 game or 20 game, whatever, I expect Brunson to be a superstar.
Okay, but what if he isn't for the second straight game, and let's say that they lose? You still say in game three he's going to be fine and carry?
Well, then I'd have to point to some others. Yeah, I would say that he will bounce back, yes. Right. And again, we'll see if that's true. But
like,
I would have faith.
At
no point. At no point will I give up, and at no point...
Not give up.
At no point will I abandon my belief in Jalen Brunson to step up and be the best player on the court the next game they play.
So they have to lose the series, and Brunson has to be bad the majority of the time for that.
Correct.
And then
at that point, then it's going to be...
Okay.
It's going to be a very disappointing, but a stunning conversation. Like, there are times in baseball, we've seen this with Aaron Judge, we've seen this with A-Rod, where you just don't replicate in the postseason, brilliant, you know, regular season success. Baseball's different. Basketball's never like that. You might have a bad game. Yeah, Jordan might go 8 for 27 one night, but Jordan during the regular season is generally Jordan the postseason. Same with Kobe, same with LeBron, same with Shaq, same with Kareem, same with Magic, same with Bird, same with Tim Duncan, same with every... Now, I'm not saying Brunson's there, but in the pantheon of stars, in this version of the NBA, Jalen Brunson is there. And if he just has this egregious, mystifying, precipitous drop from who he was the first 82 games, I will be stunned, and we will have to reevaluate who he is. That's a long explanation, but that's sincerely how I feel.
Right.
I believe tonight he bangs in 35.
Right.
Now, can he bang in 35 if the Knicks lose a tight one? Sure, if he could. I just expect Brunson to be an absolute beast every time he plays.
Right, and all I'm saying is that he has to, because without him doing what he did, the Knicks aren't the 2 seed because they're deep. That's not why they're the 2 seed. They're the 2 seed because Jalen Brunson played at an MVP level when Randall went down and Anobi was out.
Yeah.
It's because of Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Well, yes
they
and no.
They won game one because of depth, not Jalen Brunson.
Yes and no to the... Yeah, I know that how they won, but no to the first part. Like, there are many teams over the years that had a guy somewhat have the season Brunson had, and they didn't have a lot else around them, and they weren't the 2 seed. So part of the reason the Knicks are the 2 seed, and I think you're missing this, is their depth.
Right.
Like, I get you. Brunson's the engine. But, like, think about all those years. Years in Portland. Prime Dame, right? Were they ever the 2 seed? No.
Right.
Because they didn't have the depth that these Knicks had, and Damian Lillard was putting seasons up like this. Not quite as efficient, but similar. And I think it's all one very appealing, connected package. Like, these Knicks are different. And we'll see if different plays throughout. You know, I think it will. At least this series. I'm not even thinking about next series. This series,
right.
I think it will.
Right. Well, game one for me was not encouraging. Again, rewarding in the fact that they won.
Yep.
I was more concerned and thinking, uh-oh, this team could be in some trouble here in this first round, than thinking, oh, baby, here, bring on the Seas, bring on the Celtics. I mean, to me, I was more... That's just how I felt after game one.
I got you.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, 11:44. Yanks pregame coming up at 12:25. What in the world is up with Judge? I mean, we will try to dissect. I don't even know if I have an answer, but he is an absolute mess. We'll do that coming up. All right, so real fast, you told me about that Knicks bet that you have, right, with the your buddy over at Surfside.
Yes.
I'll share a quick aside with you. I don't know how I did this. I was telling these guys this morning. So I was at the baseball field in Staten Island. Great kills. By the way, awesome field. Just such an awesome old-school setup. Really, really a big shout-out to those people out there. I was on Staten Island all weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so his game started at 3-7. That game's at 6.
I mean,
Okay, but the juggle, people juggle, no big deal.
That's a late game, 3-7. No?
3-7, so yeah. Do you realize, because there was another one in between, it's like one of these all-weekend tournaments, do you realize that I got home at 9:25 on Saturday night, and my mom and dad came in from Brooklyn to watch him play. They came over to sleep over. I did not know the Knicks score. I told people that, you know, other dads, don't tell me. I don't want to know the score.
Right.
My dad's got a flip phone, so he's certainly not going to tell me. I get in the car. I put music on. I actually did it, and I start banging back a few Modellos with my dad. I said, all right, 9:25. Let's see what happens. We did not know if they won hours after the game.
It's an incredible accomplishment.
It's almost impossible this day and age.
Yeah, right, with text or whatever.
Good.
Yeah, I thought about texting you. I wasn't sure. I knew that you had a busy weekend schedule.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what, let's just save it for the show anyway, Monday, and react a lot. But I was going to text you in game because I was fired up about certain things. But yeah, that is impressive that you didn't find out the score at all.
Yeah, I was getting texts. I was just deleting them. Like, people who I know are Knicks fans, I'm like, I just delete. They're like, I didn't even look at it. Like, just like when I see their name, I deleted it. Not even just the text. All right, so Knicks do get the win. Level of concern, what is it based on the fact that Brunson really was harassed and did not play well? Mike's in Darien, Connecticut. Mike, BT, and Sal, what's going on?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Quick word about the Knicks fan reaction. I'm 62 years old, so been a Knicks fan for a long time. You know what? First, they pay a lot of money to go into that building. So if they want to act extra happy on their way out, more power to them.
That's what I'm second, saying, Mike. Celebrate.
You know, and second, you got to remember the run-up. You know, there was all that drama about, like, the Knicks drawing the 2 seed and getting the Sixers with their MVP back as opposed to the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers had beaten, Florida, Orlando earlier in the day. So, and you got Brunson not playing well. So I think it's a little bigger than a typical game one. I think the feeling of the Knicks fan was joy, relief, and just a little bit extra. And I would never.
Well, but Mike, hold on a second. They're going to do the same thing tonight. If the Knicks win tonight, they're going to do the same thing.
They were burning Joel Embiid's jersey in the streets. It's game one of the first round, and Knicks fans were chanting, "We want Boston and sweep." Like, do you realize how stupid that is?
Hey, you know what? There's nothing stupid about a New York fan.
Well, lighting jerseys on fire.
That's absolutely not true, Mike. That's absolutely not true, Mike.
What? I mean, you know what? We're a good fan base.
No. Great fan base.
A little bit
base.
Extra joyful, you know.
Mike, it's pathetic. The behavior was pathetic. Yeah, you could cut him some slack if you want. I'm not. I think it was embarrassing. You celebrating. I'm all for celebrating. I'm fine with that. Can you celebrate something that actually can? Like, even if they won the first round, period, close out the first round, I'd still be like, yeah, it's probably a little much. It's the first round. But at least that would be somewhat justified.
The first game of the first round? Yeah, I know it bothers you. It doesn't bother me. The jersey lighting is stupid. That's infantile. It could be dangerous. That's next level, whatever.
Yelling sweep and we want Boston.
Let
that's
me
not
ask
stupid
you this, though.
To you?
I know you don't like it. I don't care. I want to probe a little more deeply psychologically. Why does it bother you? Like, why? Why does this work you up so much that Knicks fans are chanting? What's the difference?
It's embarrassing.
On what level? Like, how?
Celebrate. You don't realize how pathetic is?
But to you it is.
Why are you? No, I think to a lot of people it is.
All right. So to a lot of people, they think it's awesome. Right. What's the difference?
Well, I don't like it. And that's what I'm here to give my opinion.
I know you don't. Why?
Well, because you're celebrating one playoff win. It means nothing. They've accomplished nothing.
It means
nothing.
You have three more to get to the next round.
Right, so why not
celebrate?
You're
accomplishing a little something.
Were Yankee fans partying in the street after their win yesterday?
Yankee fans are used to winning.
So you hold the Knicks fan to a different level.
On some level, I do.
When Met fans won a playoff game, do they party in the streets and burn jerseys of whoever they beat? No, it's Knicks fan behavior. It's the bing-bong Knicks fan behavior. Did the Ranger fans do it after game one?
I don't think they did. Is it the jersey or is it the chant?
It's everything. Like, we want Boston is an idiotic chant. By the way, I'm not a fan of the MVP chants, although this year I think it fits with Jalen Brunson. But like every fan base, MVP,
I know. They did it with Randall for a couple years. It's a little played out. I got you on that.
So I don't like that. So, I mean, do we need to get into any deeper other than I just think it's stupid?
No, we don't. I just wanted you to, I wanted to hear from you, like, how... Like,
celebrating game one like of the first.
I don't know why that makes you mad. I know why. I know you don't like it.
Right.
I don't see how that impacts your world.
It doesn't.
But it does. Look at how agitated you are.
I'm doing a show here.
No, I get that too. I get that. But like,
you want to really get into it? I don't care about anything. So let's just not talk about it then. We don't have to talk about it. We got 4 hours each day the rest of the week to film. Like, yeah, okay, hey, you know what, guys? Hey, it was a nice performance. Brunson struggled, but I think he's going to bounce back tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Like, I mean, we got to react to something.
Sure. Well, and we are. It's right. Called the game.
Do I really care? No, I don't.
So, okay.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't want to go there with my daughter.
Well, that I don't disagree. It's funny. I did think the same thing. I'm like, if I'm trying to leave the arena with my kids who are 9 and 7, what are you walking into? That's a different conversation.
The jersey stuff is stupidity. Here's the bottom line. While burning a jersey is just idiotic, while the crowds are ridiculous and potentially unsafe and it's a nightmare to get out of there, Ultimately the core issue that I have with it is you're acting like the Rangers fan did in 1994 after they erased a 54-year drought to win the Stanley Cup. You're acting like that after game one of the first round of the playoffs. Like, for me, that's pathetic and embarrassing. Why that is, I don't know. I mean, I hold myself to different standards, I guess. I never really got any deeper than other than I just think it's embarrassing to celebrate one win of the first round of the playoffs. Not something I would do. Hey, to each their own, but I just think it's embarrassing and childish, immature, pathetic, all the above.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, to me, there's one reason why people are doing this. And you know the reason. The phone.
So that's even more pathetic.
Yeah. No, that part. I'm with you.
And
the jersey's stupid.
It probably get right. And all those celebrations didn't used to be because of that. It was natural, raw emotion that people would celebrate their joy with on the streets. And we see it all the time with, here's the difference. We see it all the time with, like, championships being won. We don't see this anywhere else. And correct me if I'm wrong, please. There's got to be footage because everybody's got their phone no matter where you are in the world. So I'd like to see any other of the teams, the endless teams, whether it be NHL teams or the NBA teams that won game one, that celebrated the way New York Knicks fans did after their game one.
I would say to that, I honestly don't, I can't prove this. I just don't think that there's any more resilient, tougher, and hardened, and calloused, and better fan base than the Knicks. And I think that it comes out based on the years of ineptitude. I think that's really where it's derived from. That's why, and it is a different standard. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it is. But, like, because the Yankees, I know it's been since 2009, haven't won for so long, there's a level of expectation, and maybe you comport yourselves differently. You know, it's this century has been hell. Now, for Knicks fans, the jersey, stupid, dangerous. Like, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of people walking out of that building Saturday night. You're drinking all day, you're at the bars, you're drinking during the game. Not that it has to be revolving around drinking or gummies or whatever, but you know what it is, right? And if I'm 20-something years old, now, I'm not touching a jersey. I'm not doing that. The bing bong thing was stupid. I thought that was infantile. If I hear a we want Boston chant, I'm going to join in. Let's go. Yeah. I'm going to push this thing a little forward.
You don't see the idiocy in that?
No. It's called passion.
We want Boston.
Well,
yeah,
so what?
If you clinched a game six or game seven to face Boston,
Sal,
game one.
No, I know. It's pushing things forward. You're not, and neither am I. We're not that far removed from being lunatics that used to go to the stadiums and pay for it ourselves.
Understood.
So that's why I'm really hitting rewind and bringing myself to my 20s. I'm not talking about now. I'm not talking about, you know, in my early 40s or when I got married in my late 30s. I'm talking about my 20s.
Well, me too.
And that's who these people are. Yeah.
Well, they're idiots. I mean, in my 20s, did I act like that? Simple as that. Now, I would get excited about a win. But not like that. In the streets, yelling. And by the way, even saying we want Boston, not the worst thing. There were other stuff to me that just makes it's game one of the first round.
Yeah. You know what I want? I want these people to cheer louder. I want
in the streets?
Yep.
There you go.
I want Sal to hear you in his New Jersey mansion.
Yeah. Right,
that's what
right.
I want. That's what I want. When Sal's watching, he's going to say, honey, did you hear that? What is that?
They
turns down
chanting.
The TV.
I don't hear anything where I'm at, which is why I love it.
In the wilderness. Sammy's sleeping. No, she's good. She's good, thank God. What is it? They're chanting.
Did they chant something about Trae Young, Zoo?
Oh, yeah. They had the Trae Young sucks,
why?
The F Trae Young.
No, that I don't like that either. That's stupid.
Well, why?
I don't know. That I don't defend.
Well, what does Trae Young have to do with anything?
No, he beat us. They were pissed off. And he owned us.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Well, 3 years
yeah,
ago. Longer than that. I mean, come on.
I'm not defending that. I'm just saying, getting a little ahead of ourselves coming out on a Saturday night.
No, but you like it.
You know what I'm saying? In the streets of New York on a Saturday night. The game starts at 6. At this point, it's 9:30, whatever it is. You're all lubed up. You're ready to hit you're hitting the town. You get a little ahead of yourself. You start chanting, let's go, Boston. Big deal. The other stuff, I'll give you some of that stuff.
I'd like to see how you react. You take Colt to a game.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get out of there and get to your car and get home.
Not to leave 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
You see, that's the problem. And that's why I won't. I won't go. You know, I probably won't go.
By the way, that's not even my issue with it. Like, that's a nuisance, of course.
Yep.
It's just, I just find it pathetic for a once proud franchise and fan base, and the fan base that should be smarter than that, to celebrate game one of the first
round.
Then you wonder why everybody else makes fun of them. You know?
That's all right. Let them make fun. Yeah. We'll be moving on to round two.
Right.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
LeBron is clock. Producers job. They want to be down with the crowd.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. And obviously, one of the top stories is, of course, the Knicks. But the other top story is the Yankees. Now, we've got the Yankees coming up in a bit as they play the A's day game today. So we're out of here at about 12:25. And, you know, you could paint it two ways. If you want to be overly optimistic, you could paint it one way. You know, the Yankees don't look good. I know that their record is very good, and I know that they've won 6 of 7 series. How they are winning is simply not sustainable. And I don't think you really need – yeah, you can focus on the regression a little bit here by Volpe. The big story is Judge. Aaron Judge looks awful. If your eyes aren't telling you that story, I don't know what to tell you, but – you could look at whiff rate. You could look at K rate. You could look at chase rate. You could look at sweet spot rate percentiles. Bad. And the thing that really worried me, I wanted to see his sprint speed. 33rd percentile. What does it all mean? It means he looks creaky. He looks slow. He looks different. And he looks bad.
Yeah, I mean, and the Yanks can't win without him. So I know that they're doing well here. You know, winning series, which is nice, but there are flaws here. And the Yankees are not as good as their start. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. So Judge is maintaining that poor play. It's a problem. Soto is out of this world, but it's been taking that to have this Yankee team continue to win. And even that is not sustainable to a certain extent. Like, I'm not saying Juan Soto's going to fall off, obviously, but the Yankees are going to need more. I told you my concerns, BT. I was not concerned about 1, 2, or 3 in the order, and I wasn't really concerned about 7, 8, or 9 in the Yankees order. It was more 4, 5, 6. However, I think now you have to add 1 and 3 to that, because moving Volpe to leadoff spot has not worked. And now, is that the sole reason? I don't know. Is it just Volpe cooling off? I don't know, but it hasn't worked. And Judge has been consistently bad now for almost a full month. So while the Yankees are winning, that's great. Their wins are masking the flaws. Eventually, if they continue to perform like this, it's going to come back to bite them. And the Yankees are too good offensively to have the shutouts, to have the inconsistencies happen, to have them come back late in these games, you know, needing these miracle wins. It shouldn't be the case. They should be better than what they are. Now, I expect them to take care of the A's. I expect them to keep on rolling. Mm-hmm. But we're holding them to the standard of winning a World Series. And right now, I'm not seeing a World Series team.
No, neither am I. The Yankees are very opportunistic this year. And it's been a characteristic really since opening day in Houston when Cortez fell behind and they found a way to win that game, sweep them. Now, the Astros aren't as good as we thought. Yankees got off to this amazing start. But there's just too often you're watching the games. I think it's almost every night now where it's like, all right, third, fourth inning, no runs. All right, fifth inning, one run. I mean, like, I don't know what the answer is with Judge, because that is the biggest concern. Sal's not wrong. I don't know if it's coincided with an elevation to leadoff spot. I don't think it's that, because early on the returns with Volpe going to 1 were pretty good. But now he's below 300, guys. And suddenly his OPS is under 800. But I don't even want to get too wrapped up in Volpe. I think it might be a combination of things, like maybe some people making adjustments to his adjustments, which now forces him to make the adjustments to the adjustments that he initially made and he adjusted to, if you know what I mean. But if the big dog doesn't wake up, then it's you're going nowhere. And I don't think he's healthy. I don't think he is. But the fact that they keep running him out there in center field, like, if they don't have any grave concerns over his health, and not that there's record is good when it comes to medical stuff. Yankees have messed up a million things. But, like, if they're not worried about it, why should I be? So right now I'm not, which means I'm just worried about his performance. Let me focus on one thing, Sal. The toe injury. Like, yeah, you can play, and yeah, no imaging is going to say that you shouldn't play, but is there a possibility, outside of the, you know, a little hot streaks, which you'll certainly have, that this is the Aaron Judge that we get moving forward?
It's going to be a big problem if it is.
Do you think that that's actually possible?
Nah, ultimately, no. I still think he's going to be better, but I mean, I do have concerns that, you know, he's in a big contract, didn't perform in the first year of the contract, not performing in the second year of the contract. We always reference Francisco Lindor. This could be just as disastrous for the Yankees, maybe even worse, because at least Lindor plays. And Lindor's even starting to get it going around. Judge is still not. So is the toe an issue? Is it the rib or the abdomen? Is it the mid-spring beat-up? I don't know. Is it the Soto effect? Soto's had a positive effect on almost everybody else, but Judge. I mean, I don't...
Isn't that crazy? Think about what you just said. That's crazy.
Well, it's got to be something because he's not performing anywhere to the level that we expect. Now, at any moment, could he turn it on? Sure, but he's looked awful. It's not just about the results. Now, we're now 82 at-bats in. At first, it was all, you know, we're 50 at-bats. That was, for me, the first benchmark. Like, all right, at 30 at-bats that I care, at 35, 40, nah, not really.
Nope.
50 at-bats, come on. And really, after his successful weekend against Cleveland, see, after he had some success and then went back into the slump again, that's where I was like, oh, this could be a real concern here with Judge. 82 at-bats now, he's still not doing anything. He's hitting a .183.
I know.
He just looks awful.
Yeah, and so does Torres. And finally, Boone sat him down over the weekend. So
maybe Judge needs to sit.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I would think that if you, you know, to think that you're going to just, I know the A's are not good. You don't just automatically put four wins on the board like, you expect them to get three.
If Judge doesn't mash the A's here, we've got a real problem.
Well, I was going to say more so, this is the series where you just sit him down for a game. You know, if
really?
Yeah.
Well, you can sit him down for all
No,
game.
I'm saying for a game. Yeah, like, if you can't win three out of four against the A's, I think four out of four is just too presumptuous. They're not a minor league team, even if they feel like one too often in the A's. Win three out of four, let him get off his feet. I mean, it's nonsense in center field. It's just not cutting it. He didn't even look the same in center field.
Right.
Like, he's a plus defender. People know that. You watch Judge. He is going to get those balls before this year in the alley. I feel like every step is...
He should just morph into the DH.
He's thinking about every step he takes. He's so gingerly attacking balls. He just doesn't look right.
Yeah. It's going to be and the Yankees, without him, are not going to have that success. Maybe not dissimilar to the Knicks. Yeah, even though the Knicks won a game without Brunson being that superstar in game one, to me it's not sustainable. Yeah, and even though the Yankees continue to win these series here for the most part, I know they lost to Toronto, but Yankees continue to win these series, it's just not sustainable to continue to do it the way that they're doing it without Aaron Judge having any kind of impact other than a negative impact.
Nah, he's got to start earning his money. And, you know, I don't want to hear about, you know, how do you boo Aaron Judge? Because he's done nothing. And I'm a huge Aaron Judge fan, the person, the player, but when you have that contract and you have been that bad to start the season, so what? You got booed. And in his defense, he said the right thing. He handled like a preset. I'd probably boo more. That's a very good Jeter, like almost like a Jeter response, very self-aware. Mm-hmm. But I've actually, you know, heard from, you know, some people like, oh, how do you boo Judge? How do you boo Judge? You've been terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody gets booed here. What do you mean? Jeter's been booed. Everybody's been booed. It's Patrick Ewing had posters thrown at him on Patrick Ewing night. So it's part of the fabric of the city.
Maybe,
right, wrong. It is what it is.
Maybe Judgey could use a little encouragement. Maybe the fans should go out there and give him some cheers. I mean, the boos are harsh for a guy who broke a record, has been the best player, the captain of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he would welcome a little encouragement thrown his way.
You know, it's not a bad thought. I would just say we don't, it's beneath us. We don't engage in that smaller profile stuff.
You want to compare some of Lindor's numbers to Judge?
I don't even care about bringing Lindor into the conversation. It means nothing specific to Judge. It means nothing. Like, we could talk about Lindor, and I'm happy to.
By the way,
good job by the Mets, but I don't care what Lindor's doing specific to Judge.
Well, he's somebody that he responded to the encouragement, and he's since got a season going.
Not right away, didn't he?
I know you were busy this weekend. You see him from the left side of the plate.
I saw him hit a bomb. What's his stats? Where's he at? Did he get to two bills yet?
Looked pretty good, though.
No,
from
no,
the
I mean,
lefty
it was
side.
A big home run. Listen, you guys dented Yamamoto.
Yeah.
And really, I'm not trying to bury the lead. No. It was great. The Mets won 2 out of 3. Keep it going out west.
Well, more encouraging.
Mets look good.
More encouraging than that for me was just to see Lindor at least get it going.
There's
from
no
the
doubt.
Left side.
I just, what is his average up to? Is it 190? Where's Lindor?
188.
Okay, so.
I mean, well, that's why it is funny to compare him with Judge. Lindor's had an awful season by all standards.
Yes.
Right? Now, he's a notorious slow starter, unlike Judge, but he's had an awful season. Some, in fact, were saying he was done.
Well, I was saying he was done for the left side.
Okay.
I was saying that his bat speed is diminished.
Judge
and he is
has,
greatly an issue on the left side.
Judge
which
has,
I stand by.
Judge
he'll hit 225, 230 from the left side this year. Book it.
Judge
he
has.
He could run into some fastballs, but he ain't doing anything for the left side.
Judge has 3 homers on the year, I think.
Okay.
And he's hitting .183.
Okay.
Lindor's got 2 homers hitting .188.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And that means exactly what outside of that they both suck so far?
Yeah, well,
and that they're both winning despite their suckiness?
Which is crazy.
It's
about
nuts.
It. Even more so for the Mets, because how are they winning without one of their 2, you know, impact bats in that lineup? No, it just goes to show you, though. I mean, what that says is how awful Judge has been.
He's been terrible. I mean, no one's running from that. Aaron Judge has been atrocious. You know, there's bad results, and then there's just a bad look.
Right.
He looks bad, and the results are worse. Like, there's nothing optically that I see about Aaron Judge, whether it's his running gait, whether it's his confidence, whether it's his command of the batter's box, the strike zone. He's an absolute mess right now. I give you that he stinks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying he stinks as a player, obviously.
I'm saying right now, this year he has been awful. This whole season he stunk. Yes. Lindor.
You think it's more injury or you think it's more Soto?
Sal, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was maybe more Soto. We talked about that psychological.
Yeah.
But watching him run in the outfield, I'm not worried about the abdomen. Thinking it might be the toe. I'm thinking
well,
it could
they
be
did.
The toe. I know.
I mean, they said he was going to have to manage that.
I know. Listen.
And then the follow-up naturally, if this is, not this exactly, but if Judge is a shell of his former self.
Oh, the Yankees have a disastrous contract on their hands.
Well,
let me spare everybody the suspense.
And more specifically,
if that's the case.
Yeah, but more specifically for this year, do you think they could have the ultimate team success?
No chance. I'm not even sure if they could have it if Judge has a massive year. No. If Judge is 235, 240 with 21 home runs and an OPS of 809, Yanks are going nowhere. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Saturday afternoon before the Knick game.
Okay.
I get an email from our pal, CEO of Surfside, Clem Pappas. He goes, so how about we get a little friendly bet going?
Okay. Like when the mayors from the different towns do it?
I'm like, all right.
Let's go.
You got my attention. If the Sixers win the series, I agreed to wear a Joel Embiid jersey for an entire week.
Ugh.
Probably an Embiid jersey, a Surfside hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid.
Like, on the air.
You want to make me Yeah. For an entire week, right. During the show, an entire week. Like,
week?
I said one thing. Joel Embiid.
What are you winning?
A pallet of Surfside to the Fan.
Oh, okay.
I go, oh, how about you send it to my address? I'll hand it out to the Knicks fans.
I was going to say, you should send it to your home.
No. Well, we're doing it for the station.
Yeah. Let's do it for us.
Yeah, well, you and I will take the majority and then hand them out accordingly. No.
Oh, man.
Let's hope the Knicks can actually win because I don't want to. Yeah, this is for me. There's risk and there's reward. Everybody else here, it's no risk. It's just me.
Well, that's what I said. They got no skin of the game.
Well, other than the embarrassment of, you know, the Knicks losing to the Philadelphia 76ers and New York getting beat by Philly.
I just saw Maxey is questionable.
So he's been
with
upgraded?
An illness. He's questionable.
Right. Oh, that's what we said before. Did we say he was?
I don't know that we had an official term. I just saw that during the break.
Yeah,
oh, it was the same. Okay, yeah. So it was the same thing. And obviously, Embiid's on the injury report. So, you know, even if Maxey plays, and you'd have to think, you know, pretty important game too.
And
unless
illness.
He's really bent down, he's going to play. I think.
What did he do? A little too much partying?
Food poisoning? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
He looked great in game one. He's a player, man.
Oh, Tyrese Maxey. That's, to me, the Embiid stuff, and Embiid is amazing when he's right. I feel like Maxey is more unstoppable. Like, he just gets to the lane and gets to the rim and does whatever he wants. Yeah. He's good.
And if those shots, more of them start to fall, Knicks are going to be in trouble, man. I can't wait to watch the game tonight, get home, put it on. By the way,
yes.
Real quick on that note, you want to talk something else about bothering me? Now, this actually did bother me.
What is it?
You didn't get impacted by this because you watched it on DVR.
Start. Well,
said 6 o'clock all week.
What time did it start?
Like 6:30.
It was that much later?
Yes, I can understand 6:05, 6:07. People are planning their days around it. Like, this is a big deal.
I know it is. I almost got more impacted, even though that's a pain in the ass. That's frustrating.
DVR.
Well, before I go to the field in the morning, I DVR, boom. And I'm like, let me give myself 30 minutes extra. Overtime, a lot of whistles, fouls, whatever. So as we're getting to the end of the game, for those of you who missed it, I DVR'd the whole thing. I didn't watch it until 9:25 at night when I got back from my son's baseball games in Staten Island. And I didn't know what happened, didn't check the score, didn't look at a text, did not even open my phone at all. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, I only have 6 minutes and 12 seconds left on the DVR, and there's 3.5 minutes left in the game. Like, it was close.
Yeah, it's a problem. You always got to go in that spot. I just go like extra 2 hours, record the 2 hours.
Yeah,
just to make sure you don't get
burned. There,
but people are, like, I'm planning my entire day around it, as many others, I'm sure, for a 6 o'clock tip. Six means, all right, 6:05, 6:07.
6:07,
not 6:30.
But why was it? Just to extend the pregame, or did the previous game run late?
I will say, though, that delay, because I was going to watch it on ESPN, that delay made me watch it on MSG.
Mm.
Gus was phenomenal.
Gus is the best. I love Gus. So is Breen. Gus, love Gus.
Gus on the call made me enjoy that game 10 times more than I would have if it were literally anybody else. So kudos to
Gus.
Without
Reddick ruining things. I might get a little Gus tonight, maybe. You know, I watched
the
ESPN.
Great. I'm definitely going back to
Gus. Gus. You know that.
Yeah.
Allen Houston on the front rim. Oh, man. So do you think they win tonight? Two questions. Do they win?
I don't know, man.
What do you mean you don't know? Do they win? Do you think they're going to win? Okay.
No, I don't.
Which is consistent with what you saw from the other night. So
I think we're looking at 1-1 going there.
So evidently, you don't think Brunson bounces back and does what he does.
I do think he could. He'll be better, but it's not going to be enough to overcome.
Interesting. I think they're going to win. I think Brunson's going to remind everybody, for those who may have forgotten, those national dopes, that he is a superstar. And if they don't win this game, then it's going even deeper than maybe I thought. I think you got to beg this win. Embiid's banged up. Maxey's a little sick. Get the dub. Let the guard rock. Just don't annoy Sal. Don't chant anything
after
the game.
I'm assuming they both play for the record. What's saying Knicks are going to lose? That means Maxey and Embiid both play for the record. If they don't, then it's different.
All right. We're back tomorrow. Everybody have an outstanding Monday. We've got the Yankees coming up next. Pre-game show right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.